Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rebay. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hour number two and Instigators WGR 550 and MSG, Marty Biron, Craig Revay, along with Andrew Peters. Instigators, as I mentioned, we got the confirmation on the director's cut. Director's cut where they take scenes and put them back in and change the movie up a little bit, I think is what I was led to understand. So that's for the Rocky IV. That we're talking about here. So I asked you guys a question going to break. Marner for Eichel. Who says no? In a world we live in right now of disgruntled Leaf fans and media and disgruntled Sabre fans and trade rumors, you have Jack Eichel, you know, obviously trade rumor. Everyone is familiar with what's going on here. You have Mitch Marner now. People want Mitch Marner out of Toronto. And to me, I'll just say this and I'll let you guys answer. But to me, I find the idea of Mitch Marner being traded out of Toronto more unfathomable than Jack Eichel being traded out of Buffalo. But that's just me. And I asked you guys a question. Take it away.
I guess you got to say, why would they want to trade Mitch Marner out of Toronto? And that's the big reason here, because they are paying four guys. Well, 11 million to 11.6 to Matthews, 11 to Tavares, 10.9 to Marner, and 6.9 to Willie Nylander. That's the four guys. And you got Jake Muzzin on the back end at 5 plus, Morgan Riley at 5, but it's the four forwards. Which one can you trade? You're not trading Willie Nylander. He's getting you the best value at just under $7 million. You're not trading Tavares. He's got a no movement clause. He's your captain. And you're not trading Austin Matthews, who, you know, scored 41 goals in a shortened season this year, would probably score 50 every year for the next 5 years. So the only guy that you can and would trade would be Mitch Marner if you wanted to save some on the cap. So that's why it's like, what? They want to trade the player who finished third in scoring this year behind McDavid, Draisaitl, and then it was Mitch Marner? Like, come on. But it's the situation they're in right now. So I can see how it happens. Who says no? That's a tough one because I think Jack Eichel, he makes less money, believe it or not. Jack is at what, 10.5?
10.
At 10? So Jack makes 900,000 less than Mitch Marner. But Mitch Marner, man, he drives the play. His vision, his work, he kills penalties. He does
shots.
Everything.
He blocks like, shots. He's...
I'm saying you give me a little something more than Mitch Marner, like Mitch Marner and something, I'm saying yes. Right now, Mitch Marner for Jack, no. But Mitch Marner and a little something, you don't have to give me much. Maybe it's a,
Marner did finish fourth in the league in regular season points.
Maybe you fill my Coke machine in the locker room like they did in Moneyball, right? That's how they got the deal done. I don't want my guys paying for soda anymore. Maybe that's what you got to do, but you don't have to give me much. Right now I'm saying no, but I want to say yes so bad.
It's your floor, Anthony.
Mitch Marner's 24 years old, just like Jack Eichel. Produced at an incredible rate. Actually, I think he's even produced at a better rate than Jack Eichel up to this point right now. Jack Eichel in 375 games played has 355 points. Mitch Marner has played 355 games, 20 less than Jack Eichel, and actually has over a point a game, 358. So he's producing more than Jack Eichel is. He's on a very different team. He's playing with Austin Matthews, you know, on a regular basis. He's on the power play with, you know, a loaded lineup. Would I look at making that move? It would be certainly something that, that would be looked at long and hard. I like the idea of trying to trade a player for a guy like Mitch Marner. But what I had mentioned to you guys when we were discussing this topic was I would be looking to move Sam Reinhart to Toronto. And yes, you're going to have to go and sign Sam Reinhart for probably around $6.5 million, maybe at the high end, $7 million, which is about $4 million less than what Mitch Marner is making. Now, yes, we're going to have to give something beyond Sam Reinhart. There's going to have to be a draft pick in there. There might have to be a player in there, like maybe Ryan Johnson, our former first round draft pick, 31st overall defenseman.
We should have a bell. Go on. We should have a bell. We should just have a bell, okay, every time he gets traded.
I know, but I'm just trying to figure out, you know, you're going to have to give something more than just Sam Reinhart. You're going to have to give a prospect and maybe even a draft pick. But I would be more inclined to do that trade.
Okay. How about this or that? Would you be more inclined to say Jack for Marner and a little bit more, or Marner for Reinhart and a little bit more? Like, which one would you be
Reinhart looking- and more? 100%, 100%, 100%. Because Jack is going to be traded.
Yeah, I don't want my
feeling is, number one, I don't want Jack Eichel going to the Toronto Maple Leafs for the next 10 years. That's
with
number
Austin
one.
Matthews.
And number two, I think what you're going to trade Jack for is going to be a game changer.
Yeah, but again, like, we're thinking Jack, like we've seen him the last few years. What's happened? Like, is he going to be 100%? What's his neck at? What are we thinking moving forward? That's the discussion that we should be, you know, considering in this.
Like, well, that's not going to be the issue.
Kevin Adams is trying to trade, like, if I should say Kevin Adams is trying to trade Jack Eichel, is he trading him as 100% Jack Eichel, or are people considering 90% Jack Eichel, 80% Jack Eichel? What's the market value right there?
I think the market value in today's technology is you're going to have a player that's going to have a surgery, and he's going to come out of that surgery and he's going to be damn near 100%. That's what you're trading. You're trading a top five center in the National Hockey League. You're trading a guy that is a captain of a team. You're trading a guy that has produced offensively. I think you're going to get the return that you want. And I think you're going to get multiple pieces that are going to make your team better. Multiple pieces, not just Jack Eichel in your lineup doing what Jack does. You're going to get multiple pieces because this team needs help in a lot of different areas. Jack Eichel is a world-class player, but he's one player. And you're realizing right now that individual players don't win championships. It's teams. And right now, all I'm saying is I would not trade Jack for Mitch Marner. I would be looking to trade Sam Reinhart and something for Mitch Marner.
Okay. Go ahead. I feel like I'm just trying to add something to the end, but I don't.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, has that made you realize that individual talent, especially now more than ever, doesn't win you games?
No, depth.
Or win you series?
Not about individual. If you have elite talent on your team, and a lot of it, and you have depth, you're a top team in the league. Right now, on our team, we have some elite talent, but there's a tremendous, and I mean tremendous, drop-off. We do not have depth throughout this lineup at all. At all. We lack.
Can I ask you a question?
A tremendous amount in a lot of areas.
I don't want to spin this into a playoff conversation, but I kind of just want, does Montreal have a sneaky amount of playoff team depth on their team?
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
Sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Yeah. Joel Armia has played very well for the Montreal Canadiens. He was actually on the
former Sabre.
He was actually on the second line for a large part of the last year. And now he's on the fourth line playing with Corey Perry, who is a rejuvenated older player that's got sneaky abilities still. Eric Staal is not having to play the big minutes that he needs to play, but he's still playing, you know, his 10, 12, 13 minutes a night. That's just their fourth line. And then it just keeps moving from there. It's, you know, Cole Caulfield, a rookie player, has moved into a major role playing with Suzuki and Toffoli. I mean, the lines that are set up, you know, Josh Anderson, who I love, Josh Anderson's playing with Kocking Kiemi or whatever. And who's the Pauly Byron? Pauly Byron was on waivers twice this year. Okay.
Well, he was on waivers twice for a reason. But he's extremely useful.
Yeah. For the cap purposes. But, you know, they are set up. And I'm not even talking about their top line. Top line is not a top line. It's not a, hey, we have Nate MacKinnon and Rantanen and Langeskog, or we've got Patrice Bergeron, Pasternak. No. They have Brendan Gallagher, who is just the hardest working guy on the ice
what
every
about
single
you?
Night. They have Deneau, and everyone's like, Deneau? I don't even know who Deneau is. Well, Deneau is one of the better defensive centermen in the National Hockey League right now, who's not given any respect whatsoever because he does not put up the offensive numbers, okay? And the other guy is Lehtinen, who was a healthy scratch, and the only reason why he's in there is because Evans got blasted by Scheifele, and he was out now. And he just scored a beautiful – he scored in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
They have excellent depth. Then they have the best goaltender in the world right now, and they play their top four defensemen in Petrie, Weber, Sherratt, and Edmondson. They play those four guys. They play them 25-plus minutes a night. And the other two guys, the fifth and sixth defensemen, don't play.
So, Marty, with hearing all this, going back to the Sabres now, unless you want to comment on Montreal.
Well, listen, Montreal is built for the playoffs right now. They surprised Crosby and Pittsburgh in the first round last year. They almost surprised Philadelphia. Well, Crosby and Pittsburgh was in the qualifying rounds, and then in the first round, the real playoffs, they almost surprised Philadelphia. But they added a few pieces, and Cole Caulfield is a big piece. Josh Anderson's a big piece, although he's not performing. Toffoli is having a great season. But so they have depth, but they're not built. And they barely got into the playoffs. They were 4 points up on Calgary this year. Four or five, I think. It was 59 points Montreal, maybe 55 points Calgary. Like, it was. They barely got in. But they're built for playoffs. They're built to suffocate teams.
No.
And if they
they're
score
not
first,
built for playoffs, they have an integral piece that you absolutely have to have in the playoffs.
But everything you guys are mentioning.
They, not only that.
And it's called character.
Well, everything you guys are mentioning, isn't this why you need to sell off big assets of your team and go and acquire multiple pieces so you can fill out your roster here?
Yes, absolutely, Andrew.
Yes, but that's what, and not to go back and revisit old wounds here, but that's what they tried to do with Ryan O'Reilly. It has to be the right pieces.
I think it needs to be multiple pieces need to go to bring in, like,
trade Ryan O'Reilly for
you do two Ryan O'Reilly deals
Zabota,
in 1 year.
Not Zabota, Zabotka, Berglund. You had Thompson. You had the first round pick. Whatever. Like, it was. You had a good return. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to bring in pieces that would fill out your depth. Right. It didn't work. And Montreal Bergevin is like, well, you know what? I'm gonna sign. Who's on D? You said there.
Edmondson.
I'm going to sign Joel Edmondson.
I didn't want to sign him.
You wanted to sign him.
Of course I did.
You know, and then they brought in Eric Gustafson. He scored a power play goal yesterday. But, you know, they bring in Toffoli. Now, there was a lot of people that liked
Toffoli.
Brought
in Ben Sherratt the year before. Big,
so he's
physical
hit.
Character.
He's hit on basically every one of his ads,
yeah,
right?
You went after character. You went after character. You know why they you went after character is because they have skill up front. They have smaller guys.
In a regular Gallagher, season.
Suzuki. They have these smaller players.
Riz, in a normal season, put them in the division that they're supposed to be in. With, okay, Toronto, Florida, Tampa, Boston. Does Montreal make the playoff?
I don't know.
No. No, they don't. They well, we, don't. We'll they never made know the that playoffs.
Answer. All I know is they made the playoffs this year and they've knocked out.
They were 24th last year and they're not going to make the playoffs next year. I mean, they well, everything's really? Lining up for them right now. Everything's lining up for them. That's great. But that's what happens. You make moves.
You think this is a flash in the pan, Marty?
I don't think it's a flash in the pan in the sense that I don't think that in a 82 game regular season that they are better than Boston, Tampa, Florida, Toronto. There's just four teams
but
right
this
there.
Year. They didn't need to be. They only they needed need to be as good or nearly as good as some of the other teams and then beat them in the playoffs, which is exactly what they did.
It was the
Marty,
perfect
in 1999, Marty, in 1999, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm not trying to set you up here or anything. In 1999, what place did the Sabres finish when they went to the finals? Do you remember?
Well, they started the playoffs.
Or even 98, even.
98, they were down because we started on the road to Philly at home to Montreal, though. So they were ahead of Montreal. I'll tell you, 1999 standings.
I'm just wondering because it's – well, when LA won, they were the eighth seed. I mean, I just sit here and I think you get a hot goalie and you get some – really good players
so
that
in
believe and some veteran players. Yeah.
In 98, 99, they were fourth in the Northeast Division, okay? So Carolina made the playoffs. Finals. Carolina made the playoffs out of the Southeast because they were the top team, right? And they were basically, they had 37 wins. They were the worst team going in. Carolina was worse, but they got a third seed because they clinched the division. But they were out of the other seven.
They had the right makeup, though, didn't they? They maybe didn't have the right makeup for regular season hockey when all the penalties were called.
I guess we're going back to the original question was, would you trade Jack for Mitch Marner? Right?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, and conversations, they do
know,
expand.
But to go back to that, I wouldn't trade Jack for Mitch Marner. And and I'm not saying that Mitch Marner is not equally on the same level as a Jack Eichel, because he absolutely is times 10. All I'm saying is I would be looking to move an extremely productive player in a Sam Reinhart, who's basically the same age as Mitch Marner, who has produced less than Mitch Marner, but has still who still produced tremendously for the team that he's been on. And I look at Sam Reinhart, who's going to be, you look at Toronto, they have a cap issue. They have a tremendous amount of money tied up in a couple players. I think Sam Reinhart would be a great addition and cost a lot less than a Mitch Marner.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
And you're right. I mean, the idea, if you're going to try to fool them, and I'm not saying giving them Sam Reinhart is your robbing.
I'm not fooling. I'm making a really good trade, I think.
Yeah, but that's not the player
they
want.
You're
going
to have to give
that's
something
not
more
the player
Sam
they're
Reinhart.
Going to want. No disrespect to Sam. Don't take it personally if you're listening. But that's not the player they want. It's
they
like,
may
just
have
like when
to
you,
settle. They may have to settle.
You might be wrong there because you have a guy like, Hyman? Who's an unrestricted free agent this year? That he might price himself out of the Buffalo or the Toronto Maple Leafs, and now you're looking at trying to manage a cap where you have more players wanting more money. You're already paying these top guys a ton of money. At some point in time, you might have to say Sam Reinhart isn't Mitch Marner, but he's damn close in a lot of areas because Sam playing with some really good players is going to produce without question.
Well, then maybe it goes back to the Johansson.
$4 million. You're talking $4 million.
Big dollar amount. Less,
big dollar amount. $4.5 million difference between Mitch Marner and Sam Reinhart.
Maybe you got to do Darlene for Marner. Maybe it's more like the Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson deal. You know, maybe it's something like that. We can talk about that later if you want to, or we can talk about it another day, but we've run out of time in this segment. We have to go to break. Instigators, when we come back, we'll do To the Point. I'll throw that in there.
And can I ask you guys a question quickly when we come back? Just a question before we go to the point. I want to test your NHL knowledge or history knowledge just quickly. Something that I just noticed, and I'm like, I didn't even know that happened.
How long do you need?
30 seconds.
Do it right now.
In 97-98, the Sabres were in a division with Boston, Montreal, Ottawa, Carolina, and this other team who won the division. Name that team. I never knew the Sabres were in the same division with that team. In 97.
Hartford.
Nope. Hartford wasn't there in 97-98.
Well, that's not my fault.
So Boston, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, Carolina, and this team were in Buffalo's division in 97-98. Detroit. Not Detroit. Detroit was out west back then. The Pittsburgh Penguins, gentlemen, the Pittsburgh Penguins were in the same division as Buffalo. They weren't with Philly. They weren't with the Rangers, weren't with the Islanders. I'm looking at the standings in 97-98. I'm like, what? Like, Pittsburgh was not in the same division as Philly, Rangers, Islanders, New Jersey. They were with us, which surprised
That's
me.
Right.
I didn't know
that. You know why I remember that? You know why I remember that now? Because didn't Jay McKee absolutely clock Mario Lemieux at center ice and take him out of the playoffs with an open ice hit?
Well, that was in
98, I think.
Yeah, they didn't play in 98 against Pittsburgh. They played Philly, they played Montreal, and then they played Washington and lost to Washington in the conference finals.
Okay. Instigators.
He did hit him. I think that's in the 2001 playoffs.
Oh, it was a few years later. I didn't realize it was that much later. Okay. All right. Different format, maybe. Was that conference?
Yeah, that was the conference playoffs, right?
All right.
Still, like, it just, I didn't know Pittsburgh was in the Buffalo Sabres division in 97-98.
I didn't know that either. Instigators, we'll be back with To the Point. Stick around, more to come.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
To the point.
All right, welcome back, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. So with the playoffs in full effect, I'm wondering if we are witnessing in Montreal what Dominic Hasek did for the Sabres. Now, I feel like every time that's said, Marty, and well, Craig, I mean, you weren't here then, but Marty, you were around then, that players on the team get offended by that. A little bit, thinking that when they hear, oh, it was all Hasek and only Hasek, because they had a pretty close-knit team and a very physical team, too.
They were a team built for the playoffs, right? Michael Pekka is your top-line center, just shutting down Alexa Yashin, shutting down whatever. Richard Schmelik, Alexis Zetnik, they had those type of guys, right? Built for playoffs, but they did have Dominic Hasek, and that, to me, is pretty
good.
Yeah,
but every time you sit there and you hear about that 99 team, all you hear about is Dominic Hasek. He's the only reason why they're there. Dominic Hasek. And now you start to compare the Montreal Canadiens and Carey Price, who's played exceptionally well. It's not the same.
Yeah, but is there games that the Buffalo Sabres were the better team? Yes. Like last night, Montreal outshot Winnipeg 39-17 or whatnot. Winnipeg was not a good team. Montreal was the better team. So Carey Price or not, I think Montreal is the better team. But overall, this year, beating the Toronto Maple Leafs and beating the Jets, I don't know that they do that without Carey Price. Kind of like, I don't think the Sabres do what they did in 98 and 99 without Dominik Hasek.
Yeah, so that was actually the first topic bar here. So I guess here's the question. And really, because I wonder if that's what we're seeing here.
Okay.
And if we throw 30 seconds on the clock, who wants to go first?
Throw it to me.
Rev, you want to go first today?
Sure.
Talk about the goal. It is your former team. You got the jersey in the back hanging up on the wall. How far can Price take the Canadiens? Craig, we'll start with you. 30 seconds on the clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the parade in Montreal is going to end. Unfortunately, I've really enjoyed watching the Canadiens play. They got a lot of very young players, Suzuki and Caulfield and players of that nature that have really come a long way in a short period of time, and they're doing great and they're fun to watch. That being said, they're going to walk into a monster. They're going to walk into a well-built machine, whether it's the Avalanche or the Vegas Golden Knights. That's just the way it is. These two teams are going to give fits to the Montreal Canadiens. And as much as I think Carey Price has been one of the top players in this year's playoffs, I think he's going to be overwhelmed by the power of one of those two teams that they're going to play next in the next round.
All right, Marty, what do you think? How far can Carey Price take the Canadiens?
I think he took them about as far as I think he can. And that's no disrespect to Carey Price, but you look at the teams that are going to be left, Montreal, and then it's either Colorado or Vegas. It's most likely the Tampa Bay Lightning and Boston or the Islanders. Montreal is the one that shouldn't be there. So he took them as far as he will and as he could, and that's great. But if Montreal keeps scoring first, they have a chance. When you score first, you're up 1-0, and you have Price in net, you could win the game 1-0. So there's still a chance there.
All right, topic number two. How can the Bruins get back in their series versus the Islanders, as the Islanders took a 3-2 lead last night? Marty, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, the Bruins have to figure out the third line. So everybody's criticizing Barry Trotz for keeping Leo Komarov on the top line with Matt Barzal with the Islanders. But why is he not taking Palmieri off the third line? Is because the third line for the Islanders are dominating Boston's third line, and that's where the game's being played right now, because Pasternak scoring, Barzal scoring, the top lines are going at it, but down the third line is the matchup. So Boston has to find the third line. Either you reinsert DeBrusque in and he got whipped and wants to play, or they're going to be done. That's where the game's being played right now.
Time's up. River, go. How do the Bruins get back in the series against the Islanders?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Marty. I think this comes down to depth. The Islanders, you don't know who's going to score their goals. Yes, they don't go and outscore a lot of these teams, and they're not flashy, but they find ways to get it done. And you don't know if it's going to be the first line, second line, third line, or the fourth line with the Islanders that are going to score, because they play the same way, they're structured, and they're a tough team to play against. That being said, Boston right now, they have their top two lines going. First line really going with Marchand, Pasternak, and Bergeron. Their second line, they need more from Taylor Hall. They need more from Craig Smith. And their third line's been basically non-existent. And I think that's where they're getting hurt right now, is their third line in Boston has to step up. Charlie Coyle, Nick Ritchie, and I don't even know who their other guy on their third line is, but they need more from that line. Coleman or something like that.
Kuhlman was there, just inserted for Jake DeBrusque, but it's usually DeBrusque. But
yeah.
All right. Anyway. I think it's over, but that doesn't matter. Next, what's going on with the Avs over the last two games? High danger chances, 5-on-5, if you're into that stuff. How about this? Destroyed Vegas in the first couple games. I believe it was all altitude, eh? And now the series is all tied up. So what's going on with the Avs?
I don't know that you should say destroyed Vegas. In game one, they did. In game two, for the last 40 minutes, Vegas was the better team, and then Colorado got a power play in overtime. This could easily be 3-1 Vegas. But here's what's going on with the Colorado Avalanche. All they want to do is score on the rush. They want to get the puck in their defensive zone, get McKinnon with the speed, get Landeskog and Rantanen with the speed, score on the rush. Once they get into the zone, if they don't have a scoring chance, they're not threatening. So right now, the high danger chances are way in favor of Vegas. Why? Because they grind in the offensive zone. They make it happen. Colorado's got to find another way than just trying to score on the rush.
What's going on with the Avs, Riv?
I think that they're trying to score on the rush. I agree. This team, there's not a better team. I have been dumbfounded with how the transition is in Colorado. The way, the speed that they generate, as soon as their defensemen get the puck, it's distributed to the forwards, and the forwards seem like they're always going 100 miles an hour. They score a tremendous amount of goals off the rush. The problem is once they get it into the Vegas zone, it doesn't seem like they can sustain any sort of in zone cycle. And I don't know if it's just Vegas is very big. They're very strong. They're very physical. I think that's a big reason. Just what Marty said, they're not scoring off the rush anymore.
All right. I don't know if you guys heard Instigators, by the way, we are doing to the point here, and Craig is dominating again, as he always does. I don't know if you guys saw Cap Friendly. Sidney Crosby, now the highest in career earnings. Do you guys know this? Did you see this yesterday? Came out yesterday. Highest in career earnings with $129 million. According to their estimated career earnings tracker, Crosby at the end of this year overtook Jaromir Jagr as the player with the most earnings. So is there anything you noticed from the Cap-Friendly career earnings page?
Here's one thing that I want to know. Jaromir Jagr played in the NHL before salaries were open to the public. So does that count the $127 million? Does that count that? And should we count the money he made in Russia? Because he left the NHL for
$8.5 million tax-free that he was making a year in Russia.
Exactly. So that's where, like, Jaromir Jagr... Yags, and the problem is Yags, he's still making money. So that could be going up. That's the thing. Like, that's what I noticed. I see Jagr at number two. I'm like, great, but he's made way more than that in his career.
Like I said again, Jaromir Jagr, in the prime of his career, left the NHL and went to play in Russia. In Russia, it was reported that he was making upwards of $8.5 million, but it was tax-free money. It's like making $17 million over here. And he made it for what, 3, 4, 5 years over there in Russia before he came back over here to the NHL. So Jaromir Jagr has made a tremendous amount of money.
Jagr was making $10 million in 99-2000, 9.5 in 2000-2001, 10.03 in 2001-2002. I mean, then 11. I mean, he made some big money when the $10 million weren't given out very often.
So there's something I do notice here. I don't know if you guys have taken much time to look at it, but there is something that I think is, I guess, kind of like all, like, you know,
there's only one goalie.
Well, oh, maybe there's one. Yeah, I didn't notice that. Henrik Lundqvist. Yeah, he made $106 million.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, he's done pretty good. And there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's two goalies. Roberto Luongo's on there, but there's only four defensemen.
Five. I'm at 5 first overall picks so far. Bunch of number two picks. 6 first overall picks. Luongo was number one, wasn't he, Marty?
Oh, was he number one?
I think Luongo was the first goalie to ever go number one, wasn't he? I thought John Davidson was the highest.
Number one overall pick?
Wasn't he? Oh, no, he wasn't. No. He was number four, sorry. It was, who's number one? It was the guy
from the DiPietro. Yeah. Rick DiPietro was the number one overall pick.
Yeah. There's nothing here that really, I mean, I don't know if anything here in particular stands out other than just how much money hockey players make.
In Sidney Crosby's career, he's earned $129,340,000 in his career. And of that, signing bonus-wise, he's made $255,000. That was probably his entry-level signing bonus. You go down four spots to Shea Weber.
That's the offer sheet.
$8 million in signing bonus.
Yeah.
He's made $120 million in his career.
Who shouldn't be on that list? Who are you looking at and you're like, wow, this guy shouldn't be on that list?
I have one guy.
I have one. I'm like, how did this guy make that list of Hall of Famers?
Brad Richards.
Nah, Brad Richards won the cup and was pretty good.
Oh, I'm thinking of the different. I'm thinking Mike Richards. Sorry. No. Never mind Brad Richards. Not the guy.
Marion Gaborik at $96 million career earning. Like, he was a great player. But $96 million career earning with guys like Joe Sakic and Marlowe and Hossa and Taze and Kane and those guys like Marion Gaborik. I played with Gabby too. Like, he was making a ton of money in New York, but it was
Parise on that list because he got that crazy deal from Minnesota as a UFA with Suter.
I think Zach Parise is probably the one guy on this list that I would say I scratch my head a little bit with how much he's made. $107 million.
That's one deal. 13 years. Yeah. That's going to go a long way.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, he really signed good that. For him. Remember they signed those deals?
It's a good list.
Suter Here's the and thing, Parise though. Together.
He may get bought out this summer, and if you buy him out right now, it's going to cost Minnesota $2 million on the cap this year, $6 million next year, $7 million the year after, and $7 million the year after, and then $800,000 for 4 years. So it's a big decision if you buy Parise out, because you got to have a cap hit of $6, $7, and $7 million.
How old is Zach Parise?
Zach Parise is right now.
Tell us when we come back, because we got to go to break. When we come back, final segment, things that Craig won't care about. I have a really good one to kick it off. Marty will tell us how old Zach Parise is. Instigators, we'll be right back. Final segment for today.
By Seneca Resorts and Casinos, nothing else comes close.
How could we forget a staple like this? Right? No one here really cares about Winnipeg Jets, do they? But you know what? Well, Pete Ratchuk does. He's local. He works for the team. But they're out in four. I don't know why I'm sounding so upset about this. I think it's a great story what's happening in Montreal.
It's kind of funny how the Canadian division started late and they had to play catch up. And now they ended early and they're waiting on everybody else.
I don't even know what to say.
Who will we remember? Will we remember Patrick Laine or Pierre-Luc Dubois more for being a Winnipeg Jet? Or would it be Paul Maurice?
Mark Scheifele was the story of this series.
Are they scratching their heads right now, asking themselves, did we make the right move for Pierre-Luc Dubois? Because stunk.
It's not like Patrick Laine was fantastic in Columbus either.
Yeah, I'll still take Dubois over Laine. I will say this, though. We're going to skip things Craig won't care about, because this is something Craig will care about, because I think we all will. Happy birthday to our buddy, Pat Coletta. Pat Coletta turns 36 today. Number 36 turns 36 today.
Wow.
This is good. Lucky year for Patty.
I think he's 36. Could be 35. He's born in 86. No, he's 35. 6 years younger than I am, damn it. So he's 35
today.
He's 35 today. So one more year. I wonder if I'll live to get to my jersey number age, 76.
Petey, you're a specimen. You're definitely going to live to that.
United freak, for sure.
Necessarily mean.
This year was my lucky year. I was 43 all year until the middle of August. So I still the lucky year.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Riv? How many years till you hit? It's actually 11:52. How ironic. How coincidental. How old are you, Riv? 45?
46.
Do you turn 47 in September?
I do, yeah.
You do, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Got a mind of a 17-year-old. That's what my wife tells me every day.
Well, that's what we tell you every day, too. So maybe there's something to it.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true.
You think it's true? Do you really like Johnny Cash, or do you just have the shirt?
I like him.
Can you name a Johnny Cash song?
Hurt.
That's well.
I mean, can you go more classic Cash? Not necessarily a Nine Inch Nails cover.
Listen. Yeah.
Just name one.
Just go with Boy Named Sue, Ring of Fire. I mean, come on. Like, what are you, you talking about?
I have a lot of songs up here, but they gotta be shuffled around. Like if I shake my head, they come to me.
It's like a CD.
There was a movie named after a Johnny Cash song called Walk the Line.
Yep.
That's good a song. Movie. Great movie.
I should watch it again because I can't remember it.
Joaquin Phoenix.
What a great actor.
Yes.
What a great actor.
Weird duck. But
Weird Duck,
great at what he does.
He was great in that. How about how weird and great he was in Gladiator as the Caesar? Oh,
we gotta run, guys. Enjoy your day. One Bills Live next. Bills training camp. All that stuff to be heard on this station right here, WGR 550 MSG and Skaters Direct.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.